إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، I welcome all of you once again and we continue our classes. Tonight is the Aqidah class. We will continue reading from Sharh Aqidat al-Salaf Ashab al-Hadith, the explanation of the creed of the Salaf, the people of Hadith. This noble book, this great book of Aqidah, compiled by Imam al-Sabuni Abu Uthman rahimahullah ta'ala wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lilmuslimin. And the explanation of our noble Shaykh al-Walid al-Allama al-Doktor al-Ustad Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali hafidhahu Allah ta'ala wa matta'ahu bis-sihha wal-afiyah wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lilmuslimina wal muslimat. Ameen. Before that, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to just clarify a matter that I mentioned yesterday in the class of fiqh. And I'm going to try to do it in the class of fiqh, inshallah. I'm going to do my best to remember, just in case if somebody come only on Mondays of that class, I want you to remind me, inshallah, okay? But we're not going to wait until Monday, so since I know something, I share it with you. The same way I shared with you yesterday about that matter, bring your statement of the ulama, inshallah ta'ala. That's what we can do, to provide the Muslims with the sound knowledge from the statements of our noble scholars. And keep in mind that there are some issues of ikhtilaf of Ahlul Ilm. Some issues, you find that the scholars of Al-Islam, they have different opinions. And as for your brother Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, he doesn't know all of the affairs of the difference of opinions. So if I know a statement of a alim, but later on I know that it is a matter of ikhtilaf, I will, inshallah, provide you with that. And keep in mind also that even the ulama themselves, in one mas'ala, in one matter, you will find, for example, Imam Ahmed have more than one opinion in it. And you find out also that in one matter, you find the alim, he said something, but after some time, he changed his opinion based on the whatever he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide him to get to at that moment, okay? So it's not a deficiency to come back and say, look, I didn't present you with everything, because we present you with what we know, okay? We don't add nothing to it and we don't subtract, because this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That matter is about praying in a masjid that is built by riba. Okay, remember I told you that Sheikh Ubaid, me personally asked him a question, and the Sheikh Ubaid, he says that it is not permissible to pray in such a masjid. And Sheikh Ubaid is not the only one who hold that opinion. Because this morning, I did some researches. And I find out a few statements of the great scholars from those ulama who they say that, yes, it is not permissible to pray. Is a fatwa that I heard personally of Sheikh, our noble Sheikh, Sheikh Al-Walid, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. Dr. Salih Al-Fawzan, he was asked the same question. Is it permissible to pray in a masjid that is built upon riba? The Sheikh said it is not permissible. That's his opinion. He said it is not permissible. He says because this is the masajid of Allah, the houses of Allah, and they have to be built with halal money. He says Allah is tayyib and accept only that which is pure. And he gave an example. So subhanAllah, even the mushrikeen, he gave a good example, Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan. He said even the mushrikeen in the time before Islam, the Quraysh, when they build the Kaaba, they make it a condition upon themselves to use only halal and lawful provisions. They don't mix it with haram provisions. But then there is other ulama, our noble scholars, who they have other opinion. They say that it's permissible to pray in those masajid that are built by riba or haram money, somebody who's have money haram from liquors, and other than that, and he built a masjid. Even though they say the salat is permissible, but all of them, they say that this is not how the masajid should be built. Okay? This doesn't mean that they say, oh, it's okay if somebody has riba, can rebuild the masjid. They says no. They shouldn't. Should not build a masjid from haram. Riba, alcohol, gambling, any way. But however, they say, if there is a masjid that is built upon that, then praying in it, it's okay. The salat is sahiha. And from those is our noble Shaykh al-Allama, Ibn Baz. عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله. He says, نعم الصلاة فيه صحيحة. The salat is sound in such a masjid. نعم. اشترى مكان بالربا. That a person he bought, he said, a place from riba, and he made it a masjid. هل تجوز الصلاة فيه؟ وكذلك بعضها يكون فيها أموال حرام مثل قيمة الخمر. هل تصح الصلاة في هذا المسجد؟ The question that was for Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of our time, he says, a person, he bought a place with riba, and then he turned it to a masjid. Is it permissible to pray in that place? He said, also, some of the money may be mixed with haram. There is some good money and there is haram money, such money that is taken from alcohol and the like. Is it permissible to pray in such a masjid? The Sheikh, he says, as-salatu fihi sahiha. He says, the prayer is sound in such a place. لكن لا يجوز استعمال مثل هذه الأموال في المساجد. He said, however, it is not permissible to use the like of this money for masajid, to build masajid. It's not permissible. يجب أن ينتخب لها أموال طيبة. إذا تيسر لها أموال طيبة وجب ذلك. وإلا فالصلاة صحيحة. He says, rather, the money to build the masajid and maintain the masajid has to be from pure money, pure earning, halal earning. ولا يجوز أن تعمر بأموال من الربا ولا من الزنا. Sheikh said, it's not permissible for masajid to be built and maintained by money that coming from riba or from adultery and the like. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, also he was asked about the rulings. I'm going to skip the Arabic because we have to get back to our book, inshallah. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, the same thing. He's on the same opinion of Sheikh bin Baz. He says, if a masjid is built by money that is haram, then, or some people, they take by force a land. They take a land from certain people by force and made it a masjid. Sheikh says, salat is permissible to pray in there. And the ithm and the sin is on that person who used the haram means to build the masjid. But all of them, they say it is not permissible to use those haram money and this and these ways. Rather, the people who don't want to build a masjid, they have to choose the pure money. Also, there is a Lajna Da'ima. Lajna Da'ima is the number of ulama. You know, they be like 5-6 of them. They get together, alhamdulillah, great ulama, and they answer. They all agree on one answer. So it's a very strong answer. Because now you're not just one alim, but like 5 or 6 of them, they all study the matter, and they come up with unanimous opinion, alhamdulillah. Same thing they says, مَا حُكْمُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْمَشْيِ الَّذِي بُنِيَ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ خُلِطَ مَالُهُ بِمَالِ الرِّبَى. What is the permission or the permissibility of praying in a masjid? The people, they build it for Allah. But however, the money is mixed. There is good money and bad money from riba and the like. They said it's okay to pray in there, inshallah ta'ala. And the ithm, the sin is on the person who put the bad money into that. قَالَ وَقَدْ يُمْنَعُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ اللَّجْنَ الدَّائِمَ. They says the ruler, the Muslim ruler, if he see the benefit, he may prevent the people from praying in such a masjid. Why? So that the people won't take it, don't take it, you know, they be lackadaisical and negligent, and then they start building any masjid with haram, okay? That's for the ruler if you see that's fit. However, now, the conclusion is that, yes, there is a difference of opinions, okay, of Ahlul Ilm. Some of the ulama, they says, it's not permissible to pray in this masjid in which they built by haram. Others, they said it's okay. Tayyib, it's clear? Alright. So next time when you say Abu Muhammad, say this one now, not the one of yesterday. Zakum Allah khair. Hayyakum Allah. So we go back, inshallah, to our book. Babun as-salatu khalf al-barri wal-fajir. This chapter now is about the rulers, the Muslim rulers. Even though that the Imam al-Sabuni entitled it "The Prayer Behind the Righteous Ruler and the Immoral," and performing jihad with them and the like. Now, قال الإمام الصابوني رحمه الله ويرى أصحاب الحديث الجمعة يعني صلاة الجمعة والعيدين وغيرهما من الصلوات خلف كل إمام مسلم برا كان أو فاجرا ويرون جهاد الكفرة معهم يعني مع الإمام مع هؤلاء الأئمة المسلمون وإن كانوا جورة فجرة ويرون الدعاء لهم بالإصلاح والتوفيق والصلاح وبسط العدل في الرعية ولا يرون الخروج عليهم بالسيف وإن رأوا منهم العدول عن العدل إلى الجور والحيف ويرون قتال الفئة الباغية حتى ترجع إلى طاعة الإمام العدل. The translation of these points of Aqidah in this chapter chapter 24 according to the English translation of the book of Imam al-Sabuni. Imam al-Sabuni rahimahullah ta'ala, he says the people of Hadith, these are the people who are upon the haqq, upon the truth, because they adhere to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon and he left the companions upon. So this is the Aqidah that we should believe in. He says the people of Hadith hold that the prayers of al-Jumu'ah, the two Eids prayers, and any other prayer can be performed. They are performed behind every Muslim imam, meaning the ruler, and whoever the ruler has appointed, irrespective of whether he is righteous or not. Okay? They also, meaning they, Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Hadith, As-Salaf, those upon the Aqidah of the Salaf As-Salih, they also hold that jihad against the disbelievers is valid with them meaning with the Muslim rulers, whether they are righteous or they are not. Even if they are oppressors and tyrants, they agree to make supplications for them. See, this is from the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah, to make supplications for these rulers, asking to rectify their situation, to be given tawfiq, and to establish justice among their subjects. They do not deem permissible rebellion against the leaders. They, meaning Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Hadith, those who follow the narratives of the Prophet ﷺ, they do not deem permissible rebellion against the leaders by the sword, like the Khawarij, the Mu'tazila, and the Rawafid. Sheikh is going to mention that in explanation. By the sword, even they are unjust and tyrannical. They are tyrants and the like. They say, meaning the Ahlul Sunnah, that the extremists, meaning the transgressive group, should be fought until they return to the obedience of the just imam and ruler. Now, في الشرح يقول الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله تعالى يعرض المؤلف الصابوني رحمه الله ميزات أهل الحديث. He said in this chapter here, in this portion, Imam al-Sabuni رحمه الله تعالى, he is displaying the characteristics of أهل الحديث. How you know أهل الحديث? Anybody can say, oh, we are أهل الحديث. Any people can put up on a masjid and name it أهل الحديث. أهل السنة. أي نعم, they can. So anybody says, oh, أهل الحديث, Allahu Akbar, you go there. لا, you need to know who, what they teach, what they are upon, what is their aqidah, what they believe, what they act upon, not just the names. So here, he's giving us the characteristics of أهل السنة, of أهل الحديث. Who are they? الذين علاقتهم بالله قائمة على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who are أهل الحديث? From their main distinctive points and their characteristics is that their relationship with Allah is established upon what's in the book of Allah and what's in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم. فيصفون الله سبحانه وتعالى بما وصف به نفسه. وَمَا وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. So, as for example, they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His name, His attributes,
by affirming to him subhanahu wa ta'ala what he has affirmed for himself in his book, or was affirmed to him by his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْوَعْدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ دُونَ أَنْ يَضْرِبُوا هَذَا بِذَاكَ كَمَا يَفْعَلُوا أَهْلُ الدَّلَالِ. Likewise, they believe in all the texts that shows the mercy of Allah and His forgiveness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven, and also the text of threat and the wrath of Allah and the punishment that Allah has prepared for the wicked and the rebellions and disbelievers and the like. And they do not mix the matters. They do not take texts that are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for the disbelievers and apply them on the believers and the like. No, they don't do that. As the people of Dalal, those who are misguided, they do. They bring ayats. Yes, there are ayats in the Quran. And they apply them on the Muslims. But those ayats, they don't apply on the Muslims. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ الشَّيْخ فَإِنَّ مُعْتَقَدَاتِهِمْ يعني أهل السنة, أهل الحديث, فَإِنَّ مُعْتَقَدَاتِهِمْ فِي جَمِيعِ أَبْوَابِ الدِّينِ مبنية على الكتاب, أي كتاب الله, مبنية على كتاب الله وعلى سنة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, وليس بناء على العقول والآراء. شيخ ربيع حفظه تعالى, this is very important points of عقيدة إخوان, these are very important things, so that you know who is who, because there is a lot of people out there, is mixed out there, everybody claim they are upon the haq, I'm gonna get you, come with me, I'm on the right path, but you need to know from in that khutbah of Jumu'ah, in that class, in that maw'idah, in that lecture, on their now, on their Facebooks, somebody who is upon the haq, his claim, he's upon the haq, where are you going to go? What does he tweet? What he has in his website? What he has in his Facebook? If he has these principles of Ahlul Sunnah, Jama'ah, alhamdulillah, it's from people of Ahlul Sunnah. But now everybody saying, now we're on the haq, we're upon the Sunnah, and then in he's tweeting the Aqidah of the Khawarij, when his Facebook is full with the Aqidah of Ash'ari and Sufi, Rawafid, and he still is upon the Sunnah, the name doesn't change anything. Ala ayin. We need to know these things, we need to pay attention to these matters. Now, Ahlul Hadith, who are upon the Haq, when you look at their Aqidah, their creed, their belief, في جميع أبواب الدين, in every chapter and field of the religion, you find them that they build it upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not upon intellect, not upon opinions. Ahlul sunnah wal jama'ah, they study when it comes to aqidah, ibadah, manhaj, akhlaq, transactions, they learn what Allah says in his book, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the companions upon. They follow the best understanding of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim. They follow the best understanding of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim. Before they believe in any name of Allah, any attributes, before they believe in the angels, who they are, where they created from, before they believe in the books, the messengers, in the day of judgment, in the grave, the punishment of the grave, in the Jannah, the hellfire, all these matters, they study. They seek knowledge. Ahlul Bida'la, they don't want to learn intellect. Whatever they think it's okay to them, then it's okay. And that's what what distinguishes Ahlul Sunnah, Ahlul Al-Hadith. Ya Walad, inshallah. Naam. وفي التعامل مع الحكام إنما تعاملهم معهم ينطلق من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام خلافا للخوارج والروافد ومن سار على نهجهم. شيخ ربيع حفظه تعالى said, for example, in dealing with the rulers, نعم, how أهل السنة رضوان they deal with the ruler, the Muslim ruler, rulers, in the way they deal with the rulers is based on the text from the Quran, the book of Allah, and from the Sunnah, not based on desires, not based on what certain people wants to happen. No, it's based on the book of Allah. They learn how can we deal with this ruler, especially when they see that this ruler has mistakes. He's tyrant, oppressive. He's not following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. then they don't just say get together and say he has to go and start rallying people against him and giving khutbahs and tweeting and sending text messages and emails. No, this is not the way of Ahlul Sunnah. They want to see what Allah said about this Muslim ruler who's not just. What the Prophet ﷺ said in his Sunnah about the Muslim ruler who's oppressive. Huh? And they act upon that. As opposed to the Khawarij. The Khawarij don't do this. The Rawafid, the Shia, Rawafid don't do this. And those who follow their example, those who follow the Khawarij and the Rawafid, they don't deal with the rulers according to what Allah says. They don't deal with the rulers according to what the Prophet ﷺ says. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَلْتَفِتُونَ إِلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَلَا لِسُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي عَقَائِدِهِمْ وَلَا فِي عِبَادَاتِهِمْ وَلَا فِي مَنَاهِجِهِمْ وَلَا فِي التَّعَامُلِ مَعَ الْحُكَّامِ وَلَا مَعَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَلَا حَتَّى مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ تَعَامُلَاتُهُمْ تَقُومُ عَلَىٰ حَسَبِ الْأَهْوَاءِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. That for instance, the deviant groups like such as the Khawarij, the Rawafid, the Shia Rawafid, and those who follow their example, they pay no mind to the Book of Allah. They don't go and take rulings from the Book of Allah, and nor from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their aqidah. That's why their aqidah is something else. In their ibadahs, the way they perform acts of worship, in their manahij, the way that they deal with things, and whether with the rulers, with the scholars, with the regular Muslims, instead of them dealing and taking the knowledge and the proper what to do, how to react, how to deal with these matters, instead of taking it from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, they follow their desires. They follow their desires. We seek refuge with Allah from such a thing.
Amen.
قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله لكن السلفي الصادق المخلص ينظر في كل عمل أو عقيدة فيقيمها على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, but the Salafi, who is truthful when he said he's a Salafi. A Salafi, he's the one who followed the way of the Salaf. A Salafi has nothing to do with your country, where you come from, your skin. If somebody say he's a Salafi, meaning he's upon the way of the Salaf al-Salih. Meaning he's upon the way of the Sahaba, the companions. Meaning he's upon the true Islam, upon the Haqq. Because that's what the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim, they were upon. They were upon that which the Prophet ﷺ left them upon. So that's what the word Salafi means. It's not like some Hizbiya. Some people, they don't know the meaning of Salafi. They hear Salafi, they think like, oh, these bad people. Nah. Yeah, he may be somebody who's bad. He claim he's Salafi and this, but they do a lot of bad things that has nothing to do with the Salaf. But now the real term of Salafi is that a person who follows the Salaf al-Salih. Those generations that are praised by the Prophet ﷺ, mainly the companions. So the true Salafi, he says, who's sincere, before he does anything, he looked at the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Any matter, actions of worship, matter of belief and creed, he or she, the true Salafi, who is truthful in his claim, not just someone Salafi by association, by affiliation. And he has his own plans and his own program. He's on another channel other than that of the Salaf they were upon. No, the true Salafi who adheres to what the Salaf al-Salih, what the Sahaba, the companions they were upon, in his aqidah, in his belief, the aqidah is not aqidah Sufiya, that the Prophet ﷺ come and celebrate birthday with them in person. Subhanallah. Or that the real sheikh, their big sheikh, still receive revelation from Allah directly. He don't need no sunnah. Or that he doesn't pray. He's in Africa, but he don't pray with them. Why he doesn't pray as sheikh? He said he pray in Mecca. He lives in Africa, but he prays in Mecca. How? Yeah, I don't know. He goes there, I don't know. Some angel take him and bring him back. People still believe in this foolishness. The Salafi, the true, who's truthful in his claim, he's like, look, what's my aqidah supposed to be? Take it from the Book of Allah. You believe in what Allah commands us to believe in. You believe in what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ left for us. Likewise, any actions of worship, whether it be tahara, salat, zakat, fasting, hajj, umrah, marriage, days, transactions, how I'm going to deal with my parents, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims, they're on the sunnah or they're on the bid'ah, my neighbors, my partners in business, those that I work for, those that work for me, when I buy, when I borrow, when I lend, when I travel, all of these matters. The Salafi, he sees before he make any decision what Allah says in this matter, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in this matter. Ahlus Sunnah يحاربون الهوى ويحاربون البدع والضلالات ويرفعون راية السنة وينصحون للمسلمين ويبينون لهم الحق. This is a very important and powerful statement that we have to write down and memorize them. Ahlus Sunnah, you want to know who they are? They fight desires. They fight innovations. They fight anything that may cause the people and the Muslim to be astray from the path of Allah. And they raise the banner of a sunnah. They sincere to the Muslims by making clear to them the truth, the haqq. Allahu Akbar. Now somebody, oh, sunnah, sunnah, but he's calling the innovation. Well, sunnah, what sunnah is this? Hey, what sunnah is this? يبينون لهم طريق الهدى من الضلال. أهل السنة, you want to know somebody who's really upon the sunnah, upon the way of hadith, he's a true Salafi. This is a person, he make clear to the Muslims the path of guidance from the path of misguidance. يبينون لهم ما يسعدهم في دنياهم وفي أخراهم. They call and invite the people by making clear to them that which guarantee for them their joy and happiness in this life and in the hereafter. So not anybody who came out, sunnah, sunnah, mashallah, or anybody that have 3+ million tweets or followers in his Facebook or 7 million hits on a on YouTube clip, that make him a great alim. La, la, ya akhi. Pay attention to what that person is saying, what he calling the people to, what is his aqidah, what is his ibadah, what is his manhaj. Ayna'am. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله فإن الله تبارك وتعالى مدح هذه الأمة بأنها تأمر بالمعروف وتنهى عن المنكر. شيخ ربيع حفظه الله, he says Allah has praised this ummah of the Muslims. They are praised because they command good and forbid evil. نعم, they command good and forbid evil. ومدحهم بأنهم كانوا متفرقين فاجتمعوا على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah praised them. Even though before Islam, they were divided. They were divided. They weren't together. They were divided. Enemies one to another, fighting one another. But they unite. Their hearts were united upon the book of Allah and upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. They weren't united upon a color, upon tribalism, upon some worldly gain. Look, let's get it together until we get it. La. Upon the book of Allah, as the ulama they mentioned, upon tawheed and upon sunnah. Ta'alafu ala kitabillah wa ala sunnati rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were brothers one to another. After they were divided, some of them they were enemies and their tribes fight each other. And then they became brothers, loving one another. How? Their hearts become together upon the book of Allah, not upon tribalism. Upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال الشيخ ربيع ومدحهم الله بأنهم خير أمة أخرجت للناس لأنهم يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. نعم, and Allah سبحانه وتعالى praised them that they are the best nation brought to mankind. How? Once again, because they command good and forbid evil. ثم الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في قضايا الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر كان ينظر إلى المصالح والمفاسد. He said, and keep in mind now, the Messenger of Allah, the best of mankind, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in matters of commanding good and forbidding evil, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is taking consideration the مصالح and the مفاسد, the good and the bad, in every situation. ورب أمته المخلصين وصحابته الأكرمين على بعد النظر في المشاكل التي تلم بالمسلمين والأحداث التي تنزل بهم وبين لهم كيف تواجه وكيف تغير فوضع لنا منهجا نراعي فيه المصالح والمفاسد. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cultivated his ummah, and especially the best of this ummah, the righteous, the sincere, his companions, his noble companions. He nurtured them and cultivated them in a way that how to face certain matters. Now, calamities will befall the Muslims, problems will come, trials and tribulations, but the Prophet ﷺ has cultivated the Muslim, the best of this ummah, how to, the Sahaba, how to deal with these matters. And how to change these problems, and how, what is the cure for it. So the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh says, has left for us a path, a methodology that we should take in consideration. That, well, this is not for everybody. This is for the people who are in charge of this, people who are qualified to deal with these big matters. They take in consideration what's good is going to do. They don't go ahead and do it. Before they do anything, they're like, wait a minute. What's good is it going to bring to the Muslims, and what's bad? If they find that there is some good, but there is more evil, what they do? دَرْءُ الْمَفَاسِدِ أَوْلَى بِجَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ. There is a qa'ida. There is a principle. Repelling harm take precedence over bringing benefit. فَأَمَرَنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَسَلَمْ بِطَاعَةِ الْوُلَاةِ. So here is now the Shaykh is going to give an example that explains this qa'ida, this very important principle. He says the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to obey the rulers, Muslim rulers. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. He who obeys me has obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ عَصَى اللَّهِ. Whoever disobeys me has disobeyed Allah. وَمَنْ أَطَاعَ أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ أَطَاعَنِي. Prophet ﷺ says, whoever obeyed my Amir, the person who is appointed on authority over the Muslims, has obeyed me. وَمَنْ عَصَى أَمِيرِي فَقَدْ عَصَانِي. And whoever disobeyed the Amir that is appointed on authority over the Muslims, have disobeyed who? I'm asking you. Huh? Disobeyed who? The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has disobeyed me. And of course, whoever disobeyed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has disobeyed who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبَيَّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فِي الْبُخَارِ وَمُسْلِمْ. This hadith is the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So now this is very important. Don't just like, because sometimes you be in a subhanAllah, sometimes you find yourself invited in a walima, in a aqiqah, right? Or sometimes you may even go to a grocery store to buy something from a Muslim. He has a grocery store, he has a meat store, I don't know. Sometimes you might find yourself catching a ride with certain people in the same bus, same van, and these people, they start talking about the rulers, backbiting them, cursing them. And then what you do? You tell them, Ikhwan, this is not the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah. It's not the aqidah of the Muslim. Fear Allah. You're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not applying what Allah has ordered in His book and the Sunnah. Yeah, but the ruler says, yeah, that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ says. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say obey only the righteous, those who don't sin. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said you gotta obey them, whether they are righteous or not. There is other narration, even if he beat you up and take your wealth. Then somebody, you tell them the Prophet ﷺ said, then they say, you know what, you're one of them. Instead to say, subhanAllah, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Akhi, I never heard this hadith. Where can I find it? Here. SubhanAllah, never heard this. Now they want to go against the sunnah because of the ignorance, waliyadu billah. But you be patient with them and explain to them once again. Tell them, ya akhwan, look, we understand. Some rulers are very tyrant. Yes, they take the money and they cause a lot of problems. But that's not the issue. The issue how we deal with that. We Muslims. We're not renegades. We want the Jannah, right? The Jannah is in obeying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in one of the sound hadith, كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. All my ummah will enter al-jannah except the one who refuses. Subhanallah, the sahaba, they says, وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The companions, they says, who will refuse, O Messenger of Allah? Who is this? We want to know the descriptions of this person who refused the jannah. They want to know. قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The Prophet said, he who obeys me enters al-jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. And he who disobeys me has indeed refused the jannah. You see? So we have to stand firm. Don't be like a feather. Huh? Today you're on the east side, tomorrow you're on the west side. A little wind, somebody blow, somebody sneeze, and you're somewhere else. No, you got to be firm, man. Can't just go in this masjid and they are upon the sunnah. Oh, inshallah, sunnah. Next Jumu'ah, somebody from the Sufiyah, now you're Sufi. Next Friday, you're a Khariji from the Khawarij. You wanna blow up something. Huh? The Jumu'ah after that, you're a Shi'i. And you're cursing Abu Bakr and Umar. A'udhu billah. You gotta be firm. What are you upon? You gotta know, you gotta be firm, man. Because there is a lot of evil out there. So you're gonna go somewhere and you'll be paying attention. If this Imam is talking about the Sunnah, the way of the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar. That's it. Now you know there is a masjid somewhere that you can go to. But if this man is crazy, man, saying foolishness, then you know that, oh, I cannot listen to this man. And if he can warn other people from that, you can. You're doing him a big favor. Can you imagine if you go somewhere and you find someone who's cheating the Muslims? A mechanic, plumber, whatever, a teacher, a meat store. Doesn't matter what it is. This guy is cheating the Muslims, man. And they believe that he's a good guy and he's cheating them. And you know that. What would you do? Just go blind and say, hey, it ain't happening to me. Now you got to tell them something. What about someone who's stealing their aqidah? Taking them away from the path of Allah. And they think he's okay. He's putting them on it. And you still just go like, oh no, that's their problem. No, that's your problem too. Because we have to give advice. If you're not qualified, talk to somebody else. Tell him, look, I went to this area and this man was saying this and this. What you think? Can you please, akhi, prepare something? Advise the people. This is how we do, ya akhwan. Ta'awun ala al-birri wa taqwa. وَبَيَّنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ هُنَاكَ حُكَّامًا سَيَنْحَرِفُونَ عَنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَعَنْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَنَعْرِفُ مِنْهُمْ وَنُنْكِرُ أَنَّهُمْ يَهْدُونَ بِغَيْرِ هَدِيهِ وَيَسْتَنُونَ بِغَيْرِ سُنَّتِهِ إِذًا فَكَيْفَ نَتَعَامَلُ مَعَهُمْ. الله أكبر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned when he's still alive, he mentioned that it will come corrupt rulers. نعم. Not all the rulers, they're going to be like Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. They're going to be some corrupt rulers. That they deviate from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims at that time, when these rulers appear, they will see from their actions, the decision they make, stuff that yes, it is from Islam, from the sunnah, and other things that are not from the sunnah. And that these people, they follow a guidance other than the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, and they be on something other than the path of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. How do we deal with them? You see, that's the most important question. Don't be surprised that there is some tyrant rulers who they are oppressive. No, this is what something that's going to happen, and it's been happening. Walhamdulillah, this is what Allah decrees. But what's more important than that is how to deal with them. How to deal with them. قال الشيخ ربيع حفظه الله الخوارج والمعتزلة جعلوا من أصولهم الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر وأدخلوا في ضمنه الخروج على الحكام. He said, for example now, the خوارج, a deviant sect, معتزلة, a deviant sect, they make commanding good and forbidding evil from their main principles. They says one of their fundamental principles that their da'wah is built upon is commanding good and forbidding evil, but they mix it with what? Going against the rulers. That's how they see the commanding the good and forbidding evil. بل أهم الأمور في تغيير المنكر عندهم الخروج بالسلاح الحكام. Rather, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they see that the most important way, the best solution to to change the evil of the rulers is by going against them with the sword, by fighting the rulers. قال من أبرز ما عندهم في الأمر والمعروف والنهي عن المنكر الذي شرعه الله الخروج على الحكام بالسيف. Yes, commanding good, forbidding evil. This is something that is legislated by Allah. But we have to do it the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do it. In His book and in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Ahlul Sunnah, As-Salaf, Ahlul Hadith, they abide by the Quran and the Sunnah. Al-Khawarij, no, they're like, listen man, he has to leave. How? We gotta gather some people. That's it. Let's gather some people and go against him, okay? That's what the Ahlul Bid'ah, they do, the Khawarij and the like. وَالرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَاعَ الْمَصَالِحُ وَالْمَفَاسِدُ وَمَاذَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَى الْخُرُوجِ. He says, but the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he taken consideration the good and the evil for the Muslims. Naam. When you look at the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you see that he takes in consideration, okay, if a ruler is tyrant, he's taking the money, he's oppressing the people, and the like, going against him, tell the people, oh listen, this Jumu'ah, we're going to all go outside against the ruler, bring your blades, bring whatever you can in your hand, we're going against. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he taken consideration. What is the consequences of this action? قال الشيخ لا شك أنه يترتب على الخروج سفك الدماء وهتك الأعراض وتشتيت المسلمين وتسليط الأعداء عليهم. He said, no doubt, when the people, when the subject, they go against the ruler, what's happened? Bloodshed. See? People are going to die. Honors going to be what?
Broken.
Nay naam. Women are, liyadu billah, and the like, and Muslims are divided, chaos in the community. They become weak, and then the door is open for the enemies. That's what happened. يترتب على ذلك مفاسد عظيمة وخطيرة جدا. نعم. Going against the ruler, fighting him, and he has an army, and he has his own people, fighting for how long? It brings a great evil. And we're no stranger to that, right or wrong. We just seen what's going on a couple years ago, and it's still happening, as we see, in some of the ignorant people who they didn't abide by the Quran and the Sunnah, and they went out and called the Muslims to go out. Some countries, they're still going through it as we speak now. 3-4 years later, they still... How many people died? Over 100,000 people died. They said, no, that's good. Who says it's good? Do they have an ayah from the Quran? Or they have a hadith? Rather, we have texts from the Quran and the Sunnah that is against them. That is against that move. Naam. لهذا أمر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بالصبر عليهم. Because of this, so that the Muslims won't be killed, blood won't be shed, women won't be raped, economy won't be destroyed, Muslim strength won't go away. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ says, be patient. Now,
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم. So this is very important for us to remember, Ikhwan, that as a Muslims, in everything we do, but especially in matters of aqeedah, the creed, the belief, what do we believe in? Our creed, what is it established upon? It is important for us not to just follow anything around us. Now you have to follow the haqq, the truth, that is found in the book of Allah and in the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You follow the path and the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now there are going to be trials. There are some people calling to this. People say, no, this is okay. This is, you got to do this. We have to follow what's pleasing to Allah, what Allah has ordered us, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded us with. We're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We continue next time. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasleem in kathira. By the way,